This is Engaging the Community, a monthly conversation with the president of Missouri State University, Cliff Smart. Welcome back to the program, sir.
Thanks, Scott.
Last year, MSU established a bias response team to track and respond to incidents of prejudice and racism. Today, I wanted to talk more about that team and how it's managed and its responsibilities to date. First of all, what prompted the bias response team to be established?
You know, a year ago, we were dealing with the fallout from all of the incidents at the University of Missouri, incidents of, you know, kind of one that I remember, someone driving by at a truck screaming something out a window inappropriately at an African-American student. We were dealing with the unrest over Ferguson, and the Black Lives Matter movement was kicking up, and there was a lot of anxiety on campus, and some of our students thought the tone and the culture here needed the university to intervene. And we were looking for a way to be able to do that and yet at the same time not violate other students' rights, you know, including the right to free speech and free expression and free thought. And so one of the models out there is a bias response team that really is, it's not a disciplinary thing at all. It's a way for us to kind of informally weigh in when little microaggressions, little incidents occur in a residence hall, on social media, in class, to, you know, engage students and make sure they realize that there may have been some hurtfulness in something that was said, or and a way to handle things without going through a disciplinary process. And so, you know, our bias response team is a piece of a bigger way that we deal with issues of harassment and discrimination, and it's probably the most informal, low-key way that we typically deal with kind of the more minor student kinds of bias issues.
How many are in the unit, and who is it comprised of?
Thomas Lane, who's our dean of students, runs it, and there are faculty members and our general counsel, folks from Residence Life, Wes Pratt from Diversity and Inclusion, a couple of students, and so it's a group of about 10, and you know, membership can you know, rotates around and comes off, but our dean of students really focuses on it because it's a committee really that's set up to primarily deal with student interaction.
For what reasons and in what ways is the bias response team alerted to an incident or issue, and how would they go about investigating?
Could be one of a number of ways. Obviously, sometimes something occurs on social media that somebody will then alert Dean Lane that there's something to follow up on. Sometimes people send him a note or through an email or just give him a call when something happens. Sometimes students go directly to him or are referred to him. You know, and the typical kind of thing might be, hey, we're having a diversity poster contest and some of the posters are torn down, or sometimes there's graffiti in a residence hall on something, and you're really looking for patterns, so that if a one floor of a residence hall had several incidents like that, you might call everybody together and do some kind of informal training, have some conversations about what's going on. Again, not so much as to discipline people, but to know, you know, we have to figure out how to live with each other and respect each other's views, and just trying to keep things from getting blown way up so that now we've got a real issue to deal with. Try to handle them at the lowest level as soon as they arise.
Have you been tracking how many cases this team has been looking into?
So 20 incidents this year.
Okay.
And again, mostly of that kind of low-key kind of variety. Now, that doesn't include the things like allegations of sexual assault. Those go to our Title IX coordinator. Yeah. You know, if there's a major destruction of property or harassment kinds of issues, that would go into the disciplinary track for students under our Code of Student Rights and Responsibilities. And, of course, we have an Office of Institutional Equity and Compliance. If someone says I was discriminated against in my job as an employee, or I didn't get this job because of a particular characteristic. So again, as I said earlier, we've got kind of our formal structure to make sure that we're treating people equitably, and that's our Dean of Students Office, our Office of Institutional Equity and Compliance, and our Title IX Office. But this is more of an educational arm to say, let's deal with those smaller kind of issues and see if there can't be learning on both sides of that.
Yeah, and again, typically smaller incidents, not going to get to that high-profile state, but do let me bring up one that did make some rounds in the news outlets where there was allegations that a student was making racial comments on Facebook. Just take us through how MSU went about understanding that issue and working through the problem.
That's a great example of the kind of thing that this group deals with. And so, you know, it came to my attention while I was out of town that it was purported that a student had said some really racially insensitive, inappropriate, hurtful kind of things, purportedly about African Americans in general. And in the context of that she was going to be a healthcare provider and wouldn't provide appropriate treatment. And it was really, you know, probably protected free speech, but concerning and offensive. And so kicked that over to Dean Lane, I think sent him an email and responded on social media that we'd check this out. Well, in checking it out, turns out, A, not a current student, not an employee, so really outside the jurisdiction of our ability to do anything. And then second, after a little further investigation, wasn't actually clear that the young woman who purportedly said these things had actually done it. Might have been staged, might have been hacked. And so, but again, because it wasn't our student, that essentially closed the investigation and we were done. But the important thing, you know, in the social media urgency age in which we live, you can't let these things linger. You have to respond quickly. And so, you know, again, one of the reasons we put this team together was to have a group of people that we could turn to in short notice and say, hey, we just heard this happen. There's an incident in a residence hall. There's an incident in a drive-by. There's an incident on social media. Let's get the people in and see what really happened and see if we can keep this from becoming, you know, a horrific thing that gets completely away from us. And it works.
And then just finally, what's the university's long-term vision for the bias response team?
Yeah, you know, you'd hope in a perfect world that at some point it goes away and it's not needed any longer as we figure out how to live with each other and respect the views of others. Yeah, maybe a little bit Pollyanna, but you know, I think we always want to try to handle all sorts of issues informally if we can. And make sure that people grow out of them, that there's a learning experience, and that we just go on. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. And, you know, but rather than having formal processes where we are trying to discipline students or employees for kind of minor infractions, it's much better if we can, you know, figure out ways to work through them and get people back to work, back at school. They learn from what's happened and they go on. And we're not trying to brainwash anyone. We're not trying to give them any kind of certain outlook on life or a political philosophy, but it is important that people, to the extent they can, respect each other and that we have a great place to go to school and a great place to work. And it's a tool in our toolbox to try to accomplish that.
President Cliff Smart, thanks for joining us on Engaging the Community.
Thanks, Scott.